time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us on this Labor Day. Appreciate you tuning in. Many of you are probably, I'm probably going to listen to this on a downloaded basis, but it is Monday, September 3rd, 2018, and we're glad to have you listening, whether it be live, and we have a fair number of people listening live. It's encouraging, as well as those that are listening on a downloaded basis. This podcast, you've heard it before. Every time we get on this thing, we say this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. What's really interesting is I was in the Wednesday service at our church on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. He goes, hey, I listened to your podcast. I'm thinking about selling my home. I actually find it really interesting, all that's going on in the mortgage industry. So we have consumers out there. So if you're a consumer, a realtor, a builder, a legislator, lots of legislators listening, we appreciate you tuning in and just telling others about it. Again, we're here to provide information. There's so much going on in this industry, and we can't provide all the information of what's going on, but we're doing our best to talk about what is happening. Let's talk about what's happening this month. The Housing Wire's Engage Marketing event is going on. It's our industry's really where the marketers get together and really talk about what's happening on September 13th and 14th. That's happening in Dallas. Check it out, engagemarketing.com. I'm looking at the list of all the people that will be in attendance at that. I'll be there. Very honored to be a part of that. But check it out. And then also another marketing event is going to be going on, and it's the event that is happening this next week. It's called the Create Wow Summit, put on by Social Survey up in San Ramon. Check it out. Go to the socialsurvey.com website, and I'll be at that event. We'll be doing some recordings for future podcasts there. On the Hot Topic segment this week, I'm excited to have Kyle, and Kyle is with CloudVerga. We're going to be talking about the digital mortgage and how technology can help lenders survive, especially when you're looking at what the rate and climate is, what the volume climate, the compression margin, LO comp, all those issues that are so top of mind with so many right now. We're going to be talking about how digital mortgage, and specifically CloudVerga, is addressing some of those issues. Say a big thank you out to our sponsor. Our sponsor is the MBA, Mortgage Bankers Association of America. We're going to hear from Rob Van Raphorst here in just a minute with the MBA Mortgage Minute. Also, Arch MI, the creator of the innovative RateStar program. Also, Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions, along with Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgages located right here in Austin, Texas, and also the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Then there's Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborator. Both of these are mortgage co-ops, which we're a part of both of these organizations, excellent organizations, both of which really help you connect in a up-close and more personal way with lenders and vendors in the marketplace. Thrilled to be a part of them and their associations or their co-ops. Also, Velma stands for the Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. Brent Immler and the team do a great job of helping us get the word out about the podcast. That's thanks to Velma. Also, KnowledgeCoop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders, and Predictive is a way which you can, through a pay-per-click marketing strategy, target leads that even before the consumers are out there searching around, based on their activity, you can actually get through pay-per-click leads that are up close and ready to buy. Very interesting, and they're having great success. Also, finally, I want to say a special thank you to Alice, who's taking time off her holiday to join us. Andy Shell, who is here. Joe and Alan, they're enjoying their holiday, so we're going to let them take time off. So, without further ado, let's get into the MBA Mortgage Minute with Rob Van Raphorst. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Earlier this week, Senators Mark Warner and Mike Rounds introduced the Self-Employed Mortgage Access Act. The bill would address the challenges presented in documenting the ability to repay for borrowers with non-traditional forms of income. The legislation embodies recommendations made by MBA to the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. Also this week, the OCC released the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking for ways to transform or modernize the regulatory framework that implements the Community Reinvestment Act. This includes focusing on issues such as increasing lending and services to people in areas that need it most. And finally this week, mortgage apps decreased 1.7%. The average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage decreased to 4.78% from 4.81% 1 week earlier, and it was its lowest rate since the week ending July 20th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this week on the Mortgage Minute.
Yeah, check it out. Also, a couple other conferences. The MBA's annual conference, if you're not already getting registered for that, it's going to be a big one this year. It's always a big one, big event. But check it out, MBA's Mortgage, the annual conference in Washington, D.C., mid-part of October. But check it out. Also, September 6th and 7th, I talked about already, the Create Wild Summit in San Ramon putting on by Social Survey. It's a little late to get registered for it, but if you're in the area or you want to get out and check it out, it's not going to be like any other conference. Some of the stuff they're doing there is so creative, and it'll be really fun to be a part of that. Also, October 2nd, 2018, the Denver Marriott is going to have another one of the mortgage expos. I've been speaking at those across the country. So look forward to seeing all of our friends in Denver. Come out to Winchester, the Marriott Winchester, Westminster, where it's at, Winchester, where did I get that? Used to live on a Winchester Street once upon a time, of course, maybe that's where I got it. But anyway, Marriott Westminster in the Denver area. And it's important that you be a part of these conferences and you understand what is going on at these. And again, get into these. It's a great way to meet people and connect with what's happening. Let's talk for a moment about something most of us have been handing out for a long, long time. And I'm talking about business cards. They've been around since the 15th century, created by the Chinese, and quote-unquote modernized in the 17th century by the European merchants. And really nothing has changed about them in four centuries. That is, until recently. Digital marketing is changing everything, and it is changing business cards. All right, so those of you who know me, I like being on the cutting edge. So I started researching digital business cards some time ago, and I started using one about a year ago. However, just recently, I found one that really has me excited, and for a number of reasons. First of all, it is electronic, and it can be shared almost as fast as a paper business card. And because it is electronic, it can be saved and, more importantly, shared, passed on to others. And the best part of all that is I can track to whom it is being shared. This is so powerful. Did you know that of the 10 billion business cards that are being printed each year, 88% of them are thrown away within a week of being handed out? So the digital business card has quite an advantage over that old paper card. Best of all, you can tell your story so effectively using the digital business card by embedding videos, links to your company website, social media sites, and even mortgage calculators and other things. It's really up to you how much you can embed in there. I've embedded video testimonials from clients that I've been working with over the years in my card, and it is getting amazing results. To learn more, text business card to 512-960-3450. Again, text business card to 512-960-3450. Check it out. It works. It's amazing. I'm getting mine shared like crazy. Never had that happen with an old paper business card. Anyway, let's get over to Les Parker, who's got an update on the market in macro view. And I like the music he selected. This time, Andy Schell, I even recognize the music. So some of the tunes he played there, I'm not into, but this one I am.
Loan Logic sponsors TM Spotlight Soundbites.
What a day for a daydream.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a day trading boy. With Labor Day upon us, it seems traders are focused on leisure. Quiet action masks the rising challenges in China and other emerging markets. Their debt troubles continue to fester. Even in Europe, warning signs flash in spite of the tepid Mediterranean Sea. As foreign investors get out of Italian debt, the national banks jump in. Keep your sights on calm waters, and for now, get lost in a daydream, dreaming about loans closing with joy.
Remember that song?
These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
That was good. I love that song. That's one of my favorite ones back when it came out. Just such an easy one to kick back and listen to. Anyway, Joe Farr is taking the day off, enjoying his family, and appreciate the fact that he's with us so often and brings us information. But he did send me some notes on this, what's going on. Of course, MBS prices fell 20 basis points last week. And all the drop happened earlier as positive news was coming in from trade talks with Mexico and Canada. Late in the week, talks with Canada stalled and the MBS prices recovered some of their early losses. Now, stocks also reacted to the trade talks, improving progress earlier in the week. Now, and then falling back later in the week. Now, mixed economic data last week caused a little reaction. Consumer confidence numbers and consumer sentiment both improved more than expected. That was a welcome sign. It's a welcome sign for the economy. Of course, that had an impact on what's going on with interest rates. Pending home sales fell more than expected. I'm sure we're back and blaming again. Housing inventory is the issue. And Logan Motoshami has some other theories to that, and affordability index, other things going on. But the National Association of Realtors cited a shortage of affordable homes as the reason, which is starting to line up more with what Logan has to say. Is it really a shortage of inventory? Or is it just now becoming an affordability issue because we've had so much price appreciation? We really haven't seen the wage growth happening with home price appreciation. Core PCE stands for personal consumption expenditures, matched expectations at 2%, which is, again, an indication of inflation rate. Again, the second quarter GDP was revised up to 4.2% and was revised down to 4.0% as was expected. So it was supposed to be revised down. Turns out it was revised up. Good signs for the economy. Again, probably not so good overall for interest rates. Increase in activity ahead of the implementation of tariffs was given for the reason. Now, the big day this week is Friday with the jobs report being released. 185,000 new jobs is expected. The unemployment rate is expected to remain at 3.9%, and wages are expected to increase 0.2%. Before Friday, we've got construction spending and the ISM manufacturing will be released on Tuesday, as well as ISM services will come out on Thursday. Some Fed speakers on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so always pay attention to what the Fed speakers are saying. The various governors that are out there have a tendency to have an impact on the markets, don't they? Anyway, also, I mean, what will also be interesting, guys, if you're not, it's not getting much coverage in the news, and that is Israel did a massive strike against Syria. I'm amazed that this did not have more attention. Now, that happened, I believe, was early Saturday morning, our time, but it was, again, did not get a lot of news. So it'll be interesting to see if that has any impact on the markets. Most likely that'll settle down. What really was eclipsing all of that was, of course, Senator McCain's funeral and everything related to that. So whether or not they launched the strike because they thought it wouldn't get much attention, but we'll see how the market react to all of that next week. So lots of good information going on in the markets out there. We're always paying attention to these kind of things and what's going on. We try to bring you information. One way someone else is bringing you information that's really entertaining is Knowledge Coop. So let's run out and listen to Nathan on a tip on how to do some training. And of course, while you're there, sign up for using Knowledge Coop. Great to have them as a sponsor. Here you go.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Check it out, knowledgecoop.com. I love those guys. Very entertaining. Have you been to that website? They've really got some fun things that they do on video. Someone else who is outstanding at training is the Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. And, of course, we're talking about our very own Alice Alvey. Alice, so good to have you here with the Legislative Update. Appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Dave. Hey, since the legislatures aren't doing their work today, I'm not paying attention to them today because I think the bigger news is some of the stuff that's coming out from Fannie and Freddie. So I thought it was a good time. I think as we usually end up doing this time of year and they end up publishing a few memos, it's good to just kind of regroup with what's going on with them. I know it's always a challenge to say, hey, I've got a Fannie only or a Freddie only guideline, and now I need to send the loan specifically to them and try and track that when maybe you have hundreds and thousands of loans going through the system each month, when maybe that might not be the best execution for you. And, you know, obviously it's difficult to track those one-offs. So what we've watched happen lately in the last couple of months is both Fannie and Freddie have come out with different items and changes, and now you have to go back and go, okay, did Freddie already allow that? And then the next month, Freddie issues a bulletin because they're now catching up with Fannie Mae, and now they're matching. So you no sooner figure out that they're different than they become the same, or vice versa.
All right.
So I thought I'd help everybody with a few things that are going on right now. Freddie just issued a memo on the 29th. They've issued one of their bulletins, and as you start going through it, you go, okay, this will be great news. The good news in the bulletin is combining Home Possible and the Home Possible Advantage. So this will make it easier to deal with one product, and then we'll get some really nice concessions to go with the Home Possible Advantage features. So that's a good news thing. The other thing that still remains different with Freddie Mac as a result of this bulletin is they are now going to allow 1% or $2,000, whichever is greater, for cash back on the limited refinances. What they didn't say in there is this would apply to the Home Ready, to the Home Possible, because I think, don't forget, those Home Possibles have lower cash back provisions, down around $250. So the way I'm reading it as of today, and we're still always checking, that seems to be for their standard limited cash out refinance. So that gives loan amounts under $200,000 a little bit of a win over a Fannie Mae, because Fannie Mae is still sitting at the 2% or $2,000, whichever is less. So that's one of the differences that's still out there. Another one that I think was a good win out of one of our recent Freddie memos is they are going to allow excess funds to be a principal reduction. And this happens on your purchases when you've got good money coming from the seller, and maybe you've tried to combine that with lender premium pricing, and you ended up with an extra $500 or $1,000, you know, not much, but your borrower wants that money used, right? That's what they negotiated, and they want to see the full seller contribution used. And sometimes that math just doesn't work out as we come up to closing. So Freddie has said that they will allow those funds to be applied to a principal reduction, which is newer for them, and they didn't put a limit. Fannie has allowed this, but they've had a cap on it, that the maximum curtailment was $2,500. Really dig into the weeds each time one of the agencies issues a memo and just kind of go back and keep your charts running on the differences between Fannie and Freddie. So they've lined up a few items with this recent announcement, but then they're still separate on a few. One of them that Freddie has aligned with Fannie on is eliminating the market conditions addendum from the appraisal, which is nice. Interestingly enough, Fannie published the memo, I don't know, maybe a few weeks ago, saying that you don't need to get the market conditions amendment anymore, addendum to the appraisal. And the people we talked to at Freddie were going, yep, we heard that the same time you guys did. they don't talk to each other. You think they're talking and working this stuff out ahead of time. I don't think that's the case always. So
they don't have a track record of doing that. For some reason.
So they're the same now with that. The fact remains we still don't have FHA, VA, and USDA saying that they're going to do away with that addendum. So your conventionals can all get marked the same, but if you've got to flip a deal, your appraiser would have to go back and add that. So a few things to keep an eye out with the new Freddie and Fannie memos that match and don't match. So that's my report for today, Dave.
We got one of our listeners that just asked a quick question. It's actually a good question. When it comes to when you have variances between Fannie and Freddie guidelines, what are you doing in training at Union Home? Do you just take the more conservative of the two so you have both options for those that are able to sell to Fannie or Freddie, or a seller or a correspondent letter who happens to be selling to Freddie? You just take the more conservative. So they're almost asking, like, do you really care what if someone's getting where they're not requiring something, and yet if you're going to sell to the other agency, you have to require it. So what are you guys doing about that at Union Home?
We absolutely have a really high quality operations and sales staff that knows it all. And so certainly there are some cases where as a lender, you know, you say, well, it's easier to be conservative, but you know, we like to make sure we're offering all the opportunities. They're all on the table. So our teams are well aware of both, and we'll do what's necessary to make sure it's the right fit for the customer. And you know, if Fannie or Freddie, one or the other, will take it, we'll go that route. That's the beauty of being a direct lender, right? You're not trying
yep.
to manage multiple courses.
But if there is a required, like, for example, if Fannie doesn't require something, and as you just reported, Freddie does or vice versa, then in those situations, are you requiring it to be there even though one of the agencies don't require that? Or are you saying your loan officer is just saying, okay,
yeah,
you would not. Okay, good.
And I'm going to, it's case by case, obviously. You take a look at what is the guideline, what makes the most sense operationally and for the borrowers. But, you know, we have a lot of expertise and a lot of loans and a lot of business that give us the ability to offer if Fannie or Freddie is more conservative or, more aggressive on a particular guideline, we'll still make that offer. And then
we
assess it both for retail and wholesale. Yeah.
Good. You guys do a good job. And I'm so glad that Bill and Al landed you there because it's a great home, and I'm glad you're enjoying it there. Appreciate you dialing in. And also looking forward to your participation in the digital mortgage conversation that we're going to be having with Kyle a little bit later in the Hot Topics segment. Appreciate it, Alice, very much. Good to have you here on this Labor Day. You bet. Let's run over to listen to Scott Gordon, who's with Open Mortgage, talk about the science of sales. Love these. I'm into sales, so I mean, I always love these little things he's recorded and put together. So what you got, Scott?
Are you an authority figure? Behavioral scientists have discovered that people are much more likely to follow a person who is perceived as an expert. There's an important word you may have missed, perceived. Studies have been conducted to prove it. Physical therapy patients are more likely to exercise if their therapist has their degrees or certificates displayed on their wall. People are likely to pay a stranger for access to a parking spot if the stranger is dressed in a uniform. The therapist's credentials carry an air of expertise, while the parking lot officer is more an authority than an expert. The effect is more powerful when a third person introduces the expert. Even if the third party is directly associated with the expert, it doesn't affect perception. A group of realtors found that having their receptionist list each realtor's accomplishments before transferring customers to the realtor, their business increased drastically, 20% increase in appointments, and 15% increase in signed contracts. So ask yourself, how can I structure my connections and referrals so that I'm introduced as the expert? Instead of giving your cell number to every contact, why not use your receptionist like the realtors? Let him or her introduce your expertise and authority. Or use an answering service. They can talk you up before forwarding your now impressed clients. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Love that. Science of sales. Check it out. OpenMortgage.com. Run over to Jim Jump over there at Arch MI. Glad to have them as a sponsor. Jim?
Today I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Arch MI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Appreciate it. We got Andy Schell here with us. Andy, good to have you on the podcast here. You know, I'm sitting here. Andy is one of the you're the sound engineer that works with me so much, and so you've watched me do this numerous times. You know, sometimes there's latency. So you punch the button to start an ad, and you keep talking, knowing, oh, it's probably going to be a few moments before it starts, and then sometimes it just starts right up. Go figure, man.
There is a science, the science of silence. And I know that dead air is the opportunity that a word didn't come out. And so I know you hate dead air, but there actually is a study of silence. Interesting, huh?
Wow. That is interesting. Yeah, now is this a part of your doctorate program that you're working on there, Prophet Doctor?
Well, you know, I've probably read 1,000 doctoral reports at this point. And, yeah, I mean, different stuff comes out, and I retain some of it. And some of it's interesting, some of it's not. Some of it's applicable, some of it's not. All of it's good to know. So,
well, you know what? I tried the silence, the science of silence, when I was in college. Professors didn't like it. They wanted to hear from me, so I found out that didn't work. So
there you go.
Anyway, what you got for us today on a more serious note?
Well, you know, Alice was talking about knowledge complexity and how in identifying knowledge complexity related to agency delivery, they've gone the path of making the customer first. So at Alice's company, they are pursuing the best path for the customer and only having the customer do what's required for the program, which acts mm-hmm. to enhance the customer quality and the customer experience because they only do what's absolutely needed. But that means you've got to know more. You can't just do one size fits all. You can't just sling it against the wall and hope it sticks. Like Alice said, the frontline people have to know a lot, and it's a good thing Alice is there to teach them. But the same thing applies in financial management. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about how much is enough and the role the owner should play in understanding the depths of financial management. So, you know, just like origination detail, there's a lot of financial dynamics around mortgage lending, and it gets really, really complicated. So there's, in my view, there's like four levels of financial reporting, and so I was going to go through those real quick.
Oh, good.
So the first two levels of financial reporting is backward-looking, which is typical for what core accounting does. So financials are generated to show what happened. So level one financials is generating the basic balance sheet and income statement and doing them well, doing them proficiently, but they're not very helpful to run a business, actually, and they're backward-looking. So we need more to understand better about what happened in our business. So we jump up to level two financials, which is really looking at the fixed cost, the variable cost, to identify and allocate these fixed and variable costs as direct and indirect costs to be able to calculate profit per loan, profit per originator, profit per product, all of these things. So that's really the second level, but it's still looking backwards. So obviously we have to do at least these first two levels. And actually, the next level is beginning to look forward, and that's level three, and that's creating financial forecasting. Financial forecasting is looking forward to anticipate financial events. So financial forecasting looks at volume and expense drivers and revenue drivers. How much is it going to cost? How much are you going to make? What's the mix going to be? And generate a financial forecast. And then from that, we can generate a cash flow forecast. Now, the financial forecast may be a year forward. The cash flow forecast is probably only going to be 60 to 90 days forward because you just can't predict stuff that accurately that forward. But you got to have a good cash flow forecast. Now, in my view, up through this level is the minimum standards. You got to have level one, two, and three. And I work with customers, independent mortgage banks, who, you know, struggle to get level two done and just ignore level three.
So
and
true.
I'm very concerned that they're going to survive. Now, this next level, level four, the top level, is really taking an advanced look at things. It's taking the dynamic forward-looking tools that are included in financial economics, and we're going to look at financial economics, and we're going to plot out marginal revenue, marginal cost, total average cost, and that will help us to understand market pricing dynamics and the point where we're eroding economic profit. Now, this is the hardest part, I mean, aside from understanding hedging, but in terms of financial forward-looking, applying financial economics is difficult, but it's important because otherwise we're just guessing. And like I said, I'm concerned that people are only doing level one or level two. They really need to do level three. They only do level one just because the warehouse lenders make them. And it really isn't enough information to make a decision about the company anyway. So you got to get to loan level profitability. So my point here is financial accounting is difficult. Mortgage finance is difficult, but you've got to know it, just like you've got to know all the details Alice talked about in knowing all the agency delivery alternatives. It's complicated, and there's a lot to remember. But if you're going to be in the business, that's what you have to do. You can't shortcut the knowledge path. You have to absorb this stuff and understand this stuff. And if you're going to run an independent mortgage bank, you have to view this information and apply it as if you're running a manufacturing facility with regulatory and capital market risk. So you've got to get deep into this stuff and learn it, and it does take time. So I actually have a CFO boot camp that I teach, and it's designed for CPAs and finance folks. It covers like 50 different topics, but it could be applicable to business owners as well. Now, you're talking about conferences. I'm going to be speaking at the Loan Vision User Conference in Nashville on the 24th, and there we're going to start going into more of these details. But for the Licking on Lending part of this, owners need to know this stuff too. Just like you need to know what Alice knows about all the details of the regs, and they need to know what you know about all the sales dynamics and culture and management, and you need to know what I'm talking about financial management. If you're going to run a company, you've got to be conversant in these topics. And, you know, Joe and I have talked about this before here on the show. You can't just pluck a CPA out of the market and put them in a mortgage seat and say, okay, now do numbers. It's just doesn't work that way. You
just
can't,
doesn't work that way.
It's almost easier to take a mortgage president, somebody who owns a mortgage company, and teach them the finance than to take a CPA and teach them mortgage. I know that's a crazy thing to say, but there's just so much nuance around mortgage lending, like we're going to talk about here in just a minute on the digital mortgage and what that means and what it looks like and all the pieces that fit together to make that work is complicated to understand. And one last quick point, and then I'm going to do the transition for the digital mortgage, and that is I'm in the process of noodling. So I'm changing topic, Dave, just a little bit, sort of a forward look. This is kind of a benchmark or a preview of a future show. I've been working with Troy Garris at Garris Horn to come up with a regulatory compliant branch cost management model that looks like a net branch, but instead of revenue focus, it's expense focus, but it ends up with the same result. So that's part of what we're going to be going through in the CFO boot camp is how to do a net branch-like thing that actually is regulatory compliant, because you can't do it the way the rules are today. So to talk more about this stuff, shoot me an email, andy@mbs-team.com. But Dave, here's the transition. Do you remember 10 years ago, you and I hopped in the car from Austin and drove down to Houston and met with some folks about digital mortgages? eSign and digital mortgage, and we had lunch at Papa Do's. And, you know, it's 10 years later, and of course we went through the crash, but, you know, how much farther along are we than we were then? I can't wait to hear what Kyle has to say about where it is today.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. I'm glad to have him join us. But I'm glad to have you here, too, especially on a holiday. Both you and Alice dialing in today, much appreciated. Good information. So true. Everyone just says, well, I'm going to go hire a CPA, and then they set them in their office, and they go, yeah, but you really need to make sure that they know mortgage banking, because just because someone has a title does not make them an expert in a vertical market such as mortgage banking. Good point, Andy Schell. Tell us a little bit more about where you're speaking again at the Loan Vision, which, again, is accounting system. Not surprising that they're going to have you come in and speak. I should help registration a bit. What are you speaking on there again?
I'm going to cover hedging dynamics, best execution model, hedge accounting, but really it's more about how to understand what the hedging reports are saying and what that means as a CFO.
That'd be awesome. That's good stuff. We're going to take a quick break for a sponsor, and then we're going to be back with Kyle in just a minute. We want to say a special thank you to Black Knight, who's with us and has been with us, both through Motivity Solutions as well as through Black Knight. They've got some neat stuff, and if you haven't listened to some of the recent podcasts we've done with Black Knight, be sure to go back and listen to them. So with that, we'll be right back with Kyle from CloudVirga in just a minute.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Check it out, blackknightinc.com. Got some really innovative stuff going on there.
Glad to have them and their sponsorship. So we're excited today to have with us Kyle Comrus. He's the co-founder of Cloud Verga in Orange County, and appreciate you dialing in on this holiday. Kyle, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on the show, David.
And we're going to be talking about the true meaning today of digital, the digital mortgage, and I can't think of anyone better to have with us on this to talk about this. And so, folks, for those of you that do not know Kyle, can't imagine that, he has been with Skyline. He is the EVP there, co-founder of Cloud Verga, has got an impressive resume, graduated from one of my favorite universities, Pepperdine. I always wanted to go to Pepperdine, Kyle. That's one of those places, partly because of the area where it looks out over the beautiful Pacific there. It's such a gorgeous campus, and my daughter wanted to go there, but we ended up going other places. She's at Baylor. But what a great school, and you've got a stellar background in mortgage lending and an impressive career already going here, and Cloud Verga is just one of them. 5 years ago, the concept of the digital mortgage was novel and new, and Andy and I were talking about it 10 years ago, as he reminded us, but now it's become one of the hottest topics in our industry, certainly one that we're talking an awful lot about here on this show. These days, executives in major institutions are being assigned the responsibility of the digital mortgage and their strategy, and there's just whole divisions dedicated to that. In fact, we've got some upcoming conferences. I want you to talk about that. Plenty of entrepreneurs looking at this, but where does Cloud Verga fit into all of this and the digital landscape? Help us out.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. You know, it's interesting, right? So I started in this industry when I was 19 years old as a broker. And
wow.
And so now I'm 38, so about basically half my life, yeah. And so I've been in this business. This is pretty much, I tell people, this is really all I know. But at the end of the day, what happened in my career was I started several successful mortgage companies, built one of the largest call centers in Orange County, then built a retail division doing about $8 billion a year in volume. And during that time, I actually got a chance to go into the weeds of the factory of what makes a loan. And this is even pre-Dodd-Frank and post-Dodd-Frank, right? And in the early days when I was doing loans, and this goes to my whole conversation about why CV, Cloud Verga, what are we doing, and what's our thesis statement, right? Early on, when I did loans, I was doing 28, 29 loans per FTE, right? And this was in the early 2000s to the mid-2000s, mm-hmm. right? Today, right, if you look at the statistics, you're now down to 6 loans per FTE, right?
Amazing.
The cost problem, which we all know about right now, my average cost to produce a loan back then was in the 2,000 range, right? Today, you're approaching 9, right? And so there's a lot of inefficiencies occurring, right? At that time, what really got me excited and passionate about really mortgage efficiency was I actually got my CHUM number because I had about 50 underwriters and my team was actually trying to get to double that number of underwriters, and our volume didn't justify that number. So I actually got my CHUM number and I actually sat down in my different regional centers and sat with underwriters and see exactly what does an underwriter do? What's going on in here and how much work are they doing? And to say the least, it was pretty startling to see what was happening and how much manual processes were actually occurring, right? And so that kind of, I guess, instilled in me this process of, okay, how do we start fixing this process, right? Because at the end of the day,
right,
in our world, a digital mortgage is more than just a consumer being able to do anything on mobile device. That's great. That's, in our words, that's table stakes. You as a lender have to have that today. But at the end of the day, the digital mortgage is much more about that. It has to actually hit and infiltrate every part of an organization and really, really cut at this massive cost problem and inefficiency problem that this industry has today.
Well, it's interesting that you got your CHUMs. You became a DE underwriter and got your CHUMs number. Alice has got that, and I've got that. I was a top originator, and I went in the company I was with made me go get that, and it was back a long, long time ago. But it's not a very typical story. What did you learn from standpoint of being in and walking in the underwriter's shoes?
You know, what's interesting is this, right? We talk a lot about data, and it's important. And we, in the past, I would say 6 to 7 years, this whole concept of digital mortgage and data has been prevalent in our industry. However, what really, really makes a huge difference with data is you have to have an efficient workflow. And what I learned is the mortgage process is one of the most complicated processes out there. And if you, it's the famous Bill Gates quote, which is if you introduce automation, right, into an inefficient workflow, you maximize the inefficiencies, right? So we, and until you understand mortgage, and that's why mortgage DNA is so important, because this isn't like this isn't like Uber, right? As great as they are, right, to come and disrupt the entire industry, like taxis and so forth and transportation. This is a highly regulated, highly complicated process to get a loan done, right? And so for what I learned was that workflow and what people do and how they do it is number one, and then automation is number two. So at CloudVerga, our theme is reimagine, then automate, right? Not just don't just automate. You have to reimagine this factory and reimagine this process. Reimagine what does an underwriter need to do? What does a processor need to do? How do I empower my broker and my loan officers? How do I empower my consumers? And then automation, that's, to be honest with you, that's the easy part, especially this day and age.
Yeah, it's so important that you get that right. Alice and I spoke. Alice, we got to tell the story because you and I spoke together. In fact, you invited me to come and speak with you. And you, it was always, anytime I get to speak with you, Alice, it's always an honor. But how she drove home the point, Kyle, to let you know, is she said, okay, everyone in the room, who wants to be this person? So we kind of divided the people up into the various roles. And she started with a string. And it was he who took, wasn't it, did you start with the application? Who took the application, Alice? And then, or where did you actually start? And that's where you put the first string. And then you moved it around the room. And it was, tell the story, Alice. It was brilliant how you drove home the point, the convoluted mess that we have in our many companies' processes.
Well, it's interesting. So I do use a string because you're in a classroom, and I was looking on the CloudVerga website, and it seems like you guys have a similar picture there on your website where you start with the borrower, and the borrower talks to the loan officer. You go back to the borrower to get paperwork, talk to the, then it goes to the loan officer again. Then the string goes to the processor. Well, the processor asks for more stuff. It goes back to the LO, back to the borrower. You know, and then you get into communication, who talks to who, and back to the credit bureau and the appraiser and then the underwriter and all back again. And so that was, those were, we stood up all the parties, and before you know it, you know, the string was a mess just trying to get to the closer. Everybody was all
We had to just get a scissor and cut through it all, just try to get through it. And I think you really bring a good point, well, Alice. That was such an excellent point in how you drove that home. I did not see that on your website, so I've got to go run over there. That's really good that you have that. Comment to that, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, it's funny. When I talk to people, I say this. They say, well, describe the mortgage process. I say, great. It's a linear process. A loan officer to a processor, back to a loan officer, back to a processor, processor to an underwriter, underwriter, back to processor, underwriter, underwriter, funding, or docs, back to underwriter, borrower signs, funder, back to an underwriter, underwriter signs off conditions. But it's, we talk about it. I mean, and it's nuts, right? It's this linear workflow. And so what was nice about, actually, you know, CloudVerga was birthed out of a lender, right? And what was nice about it at Skyline was we got to, and I actually had a lab where I actually got to reimagine, said, okay, forget technology, forget systems, forget anything. Let's just reimagine workflow. What does it look like, right, instead of this linear approach that hasn't changed in this industry in 30 years, this linear workflow.
Right.
And so there's a lot of push, right, that about this, and there's a lot of hype. And I wrote an article last year called The Shiny Object Syndrome, really talking about how this digital mortgage and being able to have a borrower do something on mobile and stuff is all great, but it's not enough. And what's happening is there's a lot of technologies, and this isn't a knock against any technologies out there. There's some great technology platforms. But there's a lot of digital technologies that, unfortunately, it's like a bridge to nowhere. You got a great application, but then what? And so we're starting to see a lot of lenders, especially with this cost problem coming up, and volume, you know, margins, it's the worst storm. Margins compressing, cost is still going up, and volume is down, right? And so lenders are looking at this and saying, what more can I do? What more can I actually get in my digital thing? Because I love the concept of digital mortgage, but it needs to be more than what is in the marketplace today.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to my old buddy Bill Dallas, who, you know, you worked with and still work with at Skyline. Or are you still involved there, or are you now totally CloudVerga?
No. Yeah, no. So CloudVerga has been a separate entity for now about 2.5 years, and Bill has actually sold Skyline to Finance of America, and so now Bill he's the president of Finance of America Mortgage.
That's right. Yeah. We want to give a shout out to Bill and his success again. Guy's amazing at that. Andy Schell, we've certainly watched the margin compression and all of that. You want to jump in on this? Is what the digital mortgage? Do you have any questions for Kyle and?
Sounds like, Kyle, you've got a great background and you've come up with some cool stuff. you know, Dave also, he mentioned about being DE, but he also ran a call center in Southern California with, you know, rooms filled with people on phones listening to stuff. So you guys are actually have a common background. So, Kyle, the thing I was wondering about is, first off, I love the nonlinear design. My brain is nonlinear. Everybody's brain is nonlinear. Despite the fact that I'm a CPA who you would think thinks linearly, I'm also a musician. So I love nonlinear design. So when you come to apply that to mortgage lenders, which Alice does, Dave does, I do, you do, so we all do that, but the when you talk to customers, there's an immediate sense of containment. They're constrained by third parties. The LOS only does what
Great
it does.
Point.
The investors require stuff. The warehouse lenders require stuff. The regulators help, you know, basically drive what we do, when we do it, how we do it. So how do you take your experience and your system and the refreshing breath of let's figure out a better way and apply that? What's the boots on the ground kind of thing? How does this work?
So one of the nice things about what we've done thus far, and I like to tell people we're in inning one of what we're capable and what we're going to be doing, right? We're only 2.5 years old, and we've already got some of the top lenders in the country as customers that are already deployed. And what I tell people is this is the most robust. We're a point-of-sale system, right? So we sit on top of an LOS. We're the most robust point-of-sale system out there, and we're like a one-stop shop. Our focus is the originator, right? The loan officers and the brokers, right? And their consumers. Right, we focus on the originator, but at the same time, we focus on this thesis statement that I've had for about 15 years, which is how do you bring underwriting to the front? Meaning, doesn't mean a body, but how do you bring the capabilities and the workflows to empower an originator? I was an originator before. The amount of data that my processors and even my underwriters had at the palm of their fingertips a week and a half later, I was pissed, right? I was like, I wish I had that. Right next to me, right here. So when I'm talking to the borrower and that consumer, right, I am building trust in that rapport. How do I have all the facts here that I can possibly have, right, to give them the best possible loan at the best possible time and to give them that comfort that everything is okay versus having to have the conversation, get the file in, and then later on have some surprises, right? Oh, I didn't know that you had this. I didn't know you listed your property, whatever it might be. And so we look at the world as you have to reimagine, and this whole concept of a POS and LOS, and, you know, we're not an LOS, but this whole concept of underwriting and empowering an originator is at the core of our DNA, right? And so that's how we look at it, and we believe, regardless, right, as an industry, put technology aside, you have to bring underwriting to the front. And what I mean by that is it needs to be next to the consumer and next to the loan officer, right? Quicken, as we know, right, with Rocket, had a great tagline when they first came out, right? Click button, get mortgage. Well, we all know that's not possible, right? Right. We know it's not possible. However, right, there is a process, and that's why mortgage DNA is so important, that you there's a process to really start reimagining how what it would look like if that underwriter, not literally, but if the data and the intelligence is right there next to you, as an originator, how empowered would you be to service that customer?
Sounds great. Well, I love your logo, the cloud with a check mark. Get it done. That's cool. No, it's hard for you to describe what you do on a situation like this. So I'm going to have to just get a demo so you can show me.
Well, it's designed on a great concept, Alice, which is one of the things you were talking about, Alice. You and I have talked about this for years. Andy talks about it. We all consult on it. And that is, you know, streamlining the process. So one of the things you have done there at Skyline and now you've brought here, Andy brings up a great question. I mean, how did you do this? I mean, how did you solve this massive problem that's out there? And then I want to get at it. If you could fit into that, how do you define a digital mortgage? What is the definition?
Yeah, so,
I'm doing a lot of surveying on it.
Yeah, so your first question, right, in regards to solving the problem, you know, we're still in the journey of it, right? And so we've done things at the point of sale that's never been done before, like the way, and you know, some examples, right? So loan officers today are able to, you know, get their borrower committed, get the loan locked with a concession, right? Because we know most locking requires concessions this day and age.
Right.
All of that is all automated in our platform in minutes with the ability to, you know, create disclosures with the lock and the concessions applied, be able to have the borrower sign those disclosures, order their appraisal, do all that stuff in minutes, right? So we do that today, which loan officers love. Is we took all that and we put it into one piece. Now, in order to do all that, what makes us so different is all the complex calculations that you don't typically see in a digital mortgage platform. A lot of the digital mortgage platforms you see a lot with like mobile and chat and taking an application and so forth. But we do all of that, plus we do all the complex calculations. Why? So that loan officers can actually be in a system where they can structure their deal, determine, you know, David, is this FHA loan better for you, or should we do a loan with Arch MI, right? Whatever those scenarios are, they can do all that in our system, right? That's the power of what we're doing. And then to your second question, which is what is a digital mortgage? A digital mortgage, in our eyes, is to be able to streamline and really solve this cost problem that's plaguing the industry, right? Because we believe if you solve this cost problem and you take the inefficiencies of the fixed loans per FTE that we have today and you bring it back up to 20, which we know we'll be able to do, what does that do to the entire process? What does that do to a consumer? And a subset of a digital mortgage is a digital application, the ability to chat with your borrower, the ability to text message, to be able to collaborate, right? That, in our eyes, is a digital mortgage. But the thesis statement is, how do you fix this broken, inefficient.
Yeah, so true. Well, there's a conference coming up about that, and I know you guys are going to be talking about it. Make a good time to introduce that, because a lot of people who are focusing on the digital mortgage are going to be there. Talk a little bit about that.
So we're, you know, this the Digital Mortgage Conference, which is in its third year. Previous 2 years it was in San Francisco. Now it's going to be at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas, I think September 17th and 18th. We're actually a platinum sponsor over there, and we're really excited to be sponsoring one of the tracks of programming at Digital called the Digital Experience. We really have an all-star lineup of mortgage lenders who will, you know, share their real-world digital experience with us. What's worked, what hasn't, and where they're headed next, so that the audience can really hear from firsthand, not just from vendors, right, but actually hear from lenders,
right,
reputable lenders, right, who have looked, right, done research, and or in the process of doing research, and have installed and deployed digital technology. And so that's really going to be exciting. And our goal is really for lenders who are trying to plot their own digital mortgage strategy, right, to really leave the session equipped with an action plan, right? Because we try to, and we talk to a lot of lenders, and we try to say, like, ask the questions. There's more to a digital mortgage than as I like to call it, a shiny object syndrome. A digital application, I don't know if you recall, back in 2007 or so, MortgageBot, great company. I was using their digital applications, right? A digital application is great. Now, obviously, it's come a long way since then with technology and so forth. But there's so much more that digital technology and digital mortgage should do. And our goal is to just be able to empower lenders to say, not only can you have a great digital front end for your consumer, right, and your loan officer, but you actually can solve a lot of the massive inefficiencies and this cost problem all on the same platform. And that's kind of our thesis, and that's what we're trying to.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing different than what some of the others are, some of the specific features.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mentioned one of them, right? Rate locking, right? So we, you know, there's other technologies that do rate locking, right? But if you don't go, you have to go deeper than rate locking, right? It's not just easy as, okay, loan officers, I'm going to lock your rate at 4.25. Great, let's go. Loan officers, you have concessions, right? A lot of lenders, I would say probably 50% of their organization, loan officers request a concession. Sad but true, right? So you've got to be able to now have a concession workflow. You've got to now be able to say, okay, well, now who can approve concessions, right? Right? I have a branch manager can approve up to a certain level of authority, all the way up to a divisional, a regional, and even the executives, right? So we built that entire workflow, and that's probably a good example of what we do, that we just go deeper. We take locking, and we take that whole function of locking, and then now we put everything around it, so it's not just a, I'm going to lock a loan once in a while. Now you can lock a loan and you can do concessions and you can do the whole thing, right? Another example is that what we do, you know, we were actually the first platform to offer real-time simultaneous submission of loan files to both Fannie and Freddie, right, with the dual AUS. So, you know, we do a single-click dual AUS that now allows you, and as you guys were talking earlier, about being able to see your findings and being able to determine which way is the best way to go, right? So to be able to do that with a click of a button, and if you have both findings, and then you can go ahead and start, you know, looking at, okay, you know what, which one's better to go? That's what loan officers were begging us to do.
And so we did
stuff like that. And then lastly, for veterans, right, we're really the only point-of-sale system out there that you can get VA loans disclosed, right, in this platform in minutes, with all the calculations completely accurate. on VA loans, which VA loans are very different from a calculation perspective than your typical conventional loans, right? Your debt ratios and so forth. So those are just some examples of this. I mean, we call it our enterprise point of sale that powers loan officers not just to be able to collaborate with the borrower. We do all that. That's easy, and like I said before, that's table stakes. But what we do is we say, okay, loan officer, you not only can do all that with your borrower, but you can actually start constructing the deal, which is what a loan officer spends a lot of their time is, not taking an application, right? Even some of the higher producing loan officers, their assistants take the applications, right? So their I would say their power is in being able to say, what's the best loan for David, right? What's the best possible deal that I can get for David? And in our platform, they can do that.
Any idea in your mind where this is going? I mean, it's partly your vision, but you talk to a lot, and you attend a lot of these conferences. One of the questions that just came in is, ask Kyle, where do you think this whole digital thing is going to end up? I mean, especially for originators. I think it had to be in a loan officer's asking this question. Is it going to be where the loan officer is just going to be able to do that much more production and touch the file that much less?
Yeah, I'll answer that one real quick. That one is I see it. You know, some people say, oh, well, an application, I'm not going to need to have a loan officer be able to do it. We look at the exact opposite. We're going to empower originators because as we've seen with the latest statistics, that borrowers still, millennials on all kinds, right, who thought, well, they'll do everything themselves. This is a mortgage. This isn't like getting a car loan on going on autotrader.com and picking up a car. This is complicated stuff. And so they need help. And so the way we look at it is we're going to empower loan officers and brokers so that they can focus on the relationship and the system does the intelligence to be able to help them pick the perfect loan at the perfect time for that borrower.
We got another question that just came in. It says, I'm a consumer direct lender. Does this work well with on the consumer direct side? I think you may have just answered that question. The answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And what's nice about our platform is, and we just launched it, it's called a separate product called iWorkflow, where for specifically for call centers, you can actually take our system and construct it in a workflow manner by product. So if you've got a conventional mortgage, it tells you, okay, loan officer, here's the 9 steps you need to do beyond just the application. Here's the 9 steps you need to do, right, to be able to get that loan, to get the borrower committed. And then, I'm doing an FHA streamline. Okay, here's the 7 steps you need to do. Don't worry about running credit. So we built that with scripting so that loan officers can be basically on the floor as fast as possible with very minimal training, right? It's almost like training wheels in a sense, right, with scripting all through the application process and the whole.
Alice, you do a great job. Both the whole Union Home Group do a great job of bringing on a lot of millennials and new people into the industry. This sounds like it could be a great tool for that. Alice, as we wrap up this program, any specific questions you want to ask Kyle?
Well, Kyle, it sounds like there are definitely a lot of features that are unique to this compared to some of the other products that are out there, because you're right. There are a few players in this space, and the whole idea is parallel processes, right? So how well does your system work once I get beyond the application? Is it designed to take me all the way through closing and beyond?
Yeah, so no, what this platform is really designed to get a borrower in the lender's wheelhouse as fast and efficient as possible. So we sit on top of an LOS, right, and we integrate with LOSs to be able to push data, pull data, so that loan officers in real time can see what's going on, what's changed, and so forth. But the platform today is designed to sit on top of an LOS, right, so for originators and for their borrowers and even the assistants and maybe some processors. But at the point of the borrower's committed, the borrower signed their disclosures, ordered their appraisal, uploaded their documents, done all the e-verification, run my AUS, picked the perfect loan, got the right program, all that stuff, now the file goes into the LOS, right, for the actual factory to start manufacturing the loan.
Got you. Thank you.
Good stuff. Yeah. Andy, let's wrap this up with a question from you. It sounds like, Andy, that what I'm hearing is that he says, we sit on top of an LOS right now, which means, wonder if you have plans to go down the path of an LOS. But, Andy, your last question.
Yeah. So, Kyle, real quick, I guess you got a crowded field that you're facing with some of the other folks out there. And so we're actually helping people pick technology platforms, so that's why I'm serious about learning more about what you do. But what is your key differentiator? What is the thing that makes you and unique compared to the B's and the R's and I'm not going to name other brand names, but just all the others out there?
We just go deeper, right? We go deeper. We have heard countless times that, you know, you have to think and you have to go into the weeds of the process, because again, once you finish an application taker is like 3% of what an LO does. That's not enough. You have to go deeper. And so what we do is we go into the product guideline specific details and we automate that for the loan officer. And that's the reason why they love the platform, is because not only can they do what everyone else does, which is the application and having my borrower do this and chat and all that, but now you can actually be in the same platform. That's why I mentioned earlier, it's a one-stop shop. I mean, the same platform to be able to determine whether you want to do this type of loan or that type of loan, or structure this type of deal, or you're going to do a 203K, or you're going to do an FHA streamline, or you're going to do a VA loan, et cetera, right? And that's what makes it so different. But we won't become, and our goal is not to become an LOS. That's not on our goal whatsoever. Our goal is, again, to reimagine the process, right, and bring that back office closer to the very front of the process for the originator. Because you know what? At the end of the day, call whatever system you want to call that. At the end of the day, that's what's needed, right, to power the originator like never before.
Sounds great.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. And you're going to begin speaking at the Digital Mortgage Conference. That's put on by Source Media. And it's September 17th and 18th in Las Vegas. Which hotel is that again?
It's at the Cosmopolitan.
Good.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, for those of you who are interested in learning more, you can get out and touch not only CloudVerga, but many other systems. There'll be a lot of them there, and talking about this important topic, the digital mortgage. What is it and where is it going? It's just begun, folks. We got a lot more we're going to be covering on this. Kyle, thank you so much for taking time to be here with us. We appreciate you giving us our new perspective on technology's role in combating these important issues like mortgage costs and helping us rethink what a digital mortgage really is. So appreciate you being here. Really grateful for your time, especially on a holiday. You bet, friend. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here next Monday.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.